From the way conservatives talk about the federal government, you might think it's an inefficient and wasteful entity that just keeps growing without restraint. Not so, says Algernon Austin, the director of the Race and Economic Justice Project at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with him about the importance of the federal workforce and the Trump administration's campaign to eliminate as many federal workers as it possibly can.
Federal workers and the idea of small government versus big government. The conservatives have been harping on that theme for a long time. I remember that was one of Ronald Reagan's big ideas. How do you suppose that idea that a country of, what is it now, 350 million people needs a somehow a small government? How are they able to succeed in convincing people of that?
Yeah, so I'm glad you go back to that, because people don't recognize when people see the figure that our government is actually much smaller today than when Trump was born. Many people are surprised because conservatives are always talking about quote unquote big government. But as you point out, you know, from the 1980s, if not earlier, they've been aggressively working to shrink government and succeeding. So when Trump was born, it was the federal government, the share of workers who worked in the federal government was about 4.5%. And today it's 1.5%. So we've seen a big reduction. And yes, that notion of a small government doesn't work for such a large country. And for a government that we place so many demands on, we require so many different services from. So we really should be thinking about good government, not small government or big government, but good government, a government that helps, that protects our well-being, that guards our health, that keeps us safe. And right now, because the federal government is too small, it is struggling to keep us safe, healthy, and to improve our well-being.
Do you think that what the conservatives have been trying to do is basically instill the idea in people that public sector bad, private sector good?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are a lot of reasons for that. But yes, there has been, you know, with this desire to shrink government, there has been, that has led conservatives to do very anti-government campaigning and messaging. And yes, we already have moved a considerable amount of government work into the private sector. And what a lot of analysts find is that that is actually more expensive than keeping it in the public sector, because public sector workers tend to earn less than similar workers in the private sector. So when they move jobs out of the government into the private sector, it becomes more expensive. There's less accountability. But of course, it's more profitable for the private companies. Well, it's profitable for the private companies that take over those contracts. And, you know, I suspect that many of them are donating to the very politicians who are, you know, being anti-government and who are pushing for moving government services into the private sector.
Is there evidence that the private sector doesn't get the job done as well?
I don't know whether they get a job done as well, but we do know that it is more expensive. So I am not aware of any analysis that's saying that they do it better or that they do it worse, but we do have data suggesting that it's more expensive. So
we have heard about the private prison system as being a little more nasty than the
there are certain functions that can be very harmful in the private sector. I mean, my colleague Eileen Applebaum, you know, capitalism, especially contemporary American capitalism, is about short-term profits. And short-term profits can be, when you're just pursuing that, can be very harmful to people working in those establishments and to, for the society as a whole. You know, child labor, for example, can be profitable, but as a society, we reject it. And Eileen Applebaum has done work looking at the private equity moving into healthcare spaces And for a while, they were in like emergency rooms. And in the emergency room, they would, I won't get into all of the details, but when you're in an emergency room, you have to take what's offered to you. And because of that, these companies were able to charge exorbitant prices, and there was little that you can do about it. And you certainly couldn't. You couldn't price shop when you are in the middle of having a heart attack, for example. But the companies made tremendous profits by taking advantage of people in their most vulnerable situation. But I don't think anyone in the American society would think that that's a good way to do healthcare, and that's an ethical business practice.
Do you think that one of the good things that could come out of all these layoffs of federal workers is that people will realize how vital it is to staff these agencies with enough workers, and that there'll be a kind of backlash?
I sincerely hope so. I hope that we get people, I had mentioned good government. I hope that we get people to really defend government. So the piece that I wrote, I highlighted, unfortunately, that tragic airlines crash where the American Airlines jet crashed into that US Army helicopter. But the Washington Post reported that there were only two air traffic controllers doing the work of four. So we need everyone to recognize, oh, air traffic controllers, we should be adequately staffed. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association says 40% of their members are working 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. So they're overworked, they're stressed, they're fatigued. That is not good government. That is not healthy for the workers. That is not healthy for the people on the planes. So if we're interested in good government, they have to be adequately staffed. They have to be adequately compensated. They have to have good working conditions. And we can go through several other agencies, as you mentioned. And, Reagan is very notable with the air traffic controllers because he attacked and broke that union when he was in office and probably laid the groundwork for the terrible working conditions that they have today. But yes, the federal government has just been shrinking, and agency after agency have workers who are stressed and fatigued, and that leads to high rates of attrition. The wait for, I saw something, people trying to reach the IRS. Most of the calls to the IRS today are not being answered because they're understaffed. So that again is not good government. And of course, many millionaires and billionaires are getting away with cheating on their taxes because, again, the IRS is understaffed. And unfortunately, Republicans in Congress are again trying to cut that IRS funding. The Biden administration put an increase in, and the conservative Republicans are working their hardest to cut it back, which of course helps millionaires and billionaires cheat on taxes.
So there's no way for this kind of problem of lack of a workforce to be resolved on the federal level, because if you have on the state level, I should say, because with some agency like the IRS, it has to be federal, right? Are there areas where states could kind of compensate for the lack of federal support?
I think to some extent, but really, I think in very limited areas. Unfortunately, states generally have to balance their budget. And because, again, of sort of poor tax policy and maybe other problems, they are under more fiscal constraints than the federal government. And we know that in state government, unfortunately, state and local government, there's significant understaffing. The teachers, we should be investing a lot more in our educational system, for example, and that's primarily under state control. So I think there are some areas where states can help, but we have a federal government for a reason. So in the area of banking, taking care of veterans, the IRS, we mentioned other areas, we really need the federal government, and states can help. But they can only help if they have, the financial resources available to them now.
Do you think this cutting off of resources will lead to people just taking things into their own hands, and through their own community efforts, through their own volunteer efforts, they'll create their own kind of support systems. I'm thinking of something like, you know, the Black Panther free breakfast programs, you know, this idea that we can't rely on those people, so we have to do it ourselves.
You know, if you have to feed your family, you're going to try everything you can to feed your family. So people will try everything they can, and communities will try everything they can. But there's a real question about how scalable those things are. So, you know, one of the areas that the Trump-Musk administration is cutting is like Head Start staff. And, you know, many...
That was
many,
something that even Republicans supported in the past, right?
Yeah, I mean, many of the things, you know, used to be bipartisan and are no longer. And yeah, I mean, many people rely on Head Start for, you know, not just the children's education, but as childcare. So losing that would place a significant burden on families and communities. And maybe people will be able to kind of find an alternative, but we have to recognize that it will be a significant burden for the people who already have few resources. And, you know, another area I was just reading about is our national parks and the loss of staffing in the national parks. You know, many people, particularly during the summer, utilize the national parks for vacations, recreation, etc. But now, with the staffing cuts, there are going to be much longer lines and much more difficulties. Bathrooms may be out of service, or if they are working, they may be unclean. So that is going to both hurt the public trying to use the national parks, but the communities that get tourist dollars from people attending the parks, once you have reductions in park attendance, those local economies are also going to experience reductions. So we really need a good federal government, and a good federal government is a well-funded and well-staffed federal government.
Do you see any chance that Congress or the courts will roll some of these cuts back and restore what's been lost?
I hope so. You know, this administration is moving so fast and doing so many controversial things. Some of these things are illegal. It's hard for me to keep up with all the different court cases and all the different actions, because it seems like every day there's something new. I sincerely hope that the Republicans in Congress step up and do their job, because they are the ones who are supposed to have the power of the purse. They're the ones who's supposed to determine funding. They have considerable authority, but right now they've abdicated all of their authority to the Trump-Musk administration. You know, they might as well go home, because they're not doing their jobs.
Anything else you want to add to what you said?
Yeah, I think your point, and I guess both of our hopes, that people learn from this moment and recognize that the federal government does really important work. You know, it keeps our airspaces safe. It keeps our food safe. It funds a lot of medical research, a lot of our medical advances. There's a huge immigration backlog of court cases because there are not enough judges. It prevents craziness and corruption in our banking system. There are so many bad things that they've done, but eliminating the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was really just cold-hearted and horrible, because that agency protects people from all sorts of financial fraud and scams. It saved American people over $10 billion. So there really is absolutely no justification for eliminating an agency whose sole purpose is to protect the American people and save the American people money. And you somehow say that you're saving money by making it easier for people to get ripped off. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, so I hope that people learn and recognize the important job that the federal government and federal workers do. And as I mentioned, often do work getting paid less than they would if they're working in the private sector. So these are people who really love the country and are contributing to the country. And it's terrible that they are being demonized and disrespected by this administration.
That's Algernon Austin of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on March 5th, 2025.